Brilliant.
Oh,
Thank you.
have a good
Thank you.
time, Kyle.
Thank you.
Enjoy your supper. Thanks,
Bye.
Richard.
Minute. We'll see you in a minute, please, God.
Look at that, amazing. Awesome. Richard's the man. He's the techie guy.
Great. Great. Okay.
Okay, amazing. Amen.
Amen. So are we recording it now, Rabbi?
We are,
Yeah.
yes,
Great.
everything's been recorded.
Fantastic.
And we're going to have a special visitor this week who we're not going to block off. Hello, good evening.
Hello. Hold on. I have to.
And who is that?
This is Ruth. If I can work it, I
Hello.
can work out the
Okay,
answer.
last week we were scared. We didn't, nobody knew who it was. It was the response, so security
Right.
risk. Sorry,
Yeah,
Mrs.
good news.
Wilkinson, I'm really sorry.
There we go.
Okay.
Hi.
Yeah, nice to see you. Okay, very welcome. Fantastic. Oh, welcome. Now we have recorded as well. Everybody's warm, everyone is well. Okay, fantastic. Thank you, Ruth, for organizing. Nice to
Great.
see everyone.
You're welcome.
Okay, so what we were discussing last week, anyone remember, one of the things we spoke about was an email from Hashem. Right? We spoke about if Hashem would send, our Kosh Baruch Hu would send each one of us an email, what do you think he would say? And we spoke about that. So I'm just giving a reminder because I'm sure nobody probably did it. All right. And I'm inspired on Monday nights, but it's time Tuesday morning. We've forgotten about it already. Life's so busy. But it's a good exercise if we could do it. I thought about it in mind. I didn't actually type it up. I thought I did like go through it. What if anybody else thought about it to think about, what's Hashem, if Hashem sent me a person, what would he actually say to me? What's he asking from me? So that was what we spoke last week. Now, where we're up to in the thing with the 10th or 11th chapter, we're in the 11th chapter of Cholos HaTzamidim, and the Rebbe told us last week about Emunah, that Emunah, it shouldn't just be something which is in our subconscious. It shouldn't be something which is just buried there and something which is hidden from us, right? It needs to be strong, needs to shine. We need to have shining Emunah. That's what we spoke of last week. And he said that a person needs to, the only way to do this is by constantly, and this is what we spoke about many times, habit. He says it's all about habit. All these things, the more we do it, it more comes second nature to us. So he said, but he's thinking about the basics of Emunah, that Kodesh Baruch Hu fills the earth, Hashem is watching us, Hashem surrounds the earth is full of his glory, is in every aspect of our lives. The more we can actually think about it, he says, especially the times when you're not busy, not doing anything at all. So during those times, especially, when you're just chilling, relaxing, etc., then there's a time just for a few seconds. His big point is tisragel. A person should accustom himself, and this is really important. A person should constantly invest in Emunah, think about it, so it becomes an absolute, it's a yediyah vadai, which means a definite knowledge, right? It's something undisputed. He said, just like clearly, you may have forgotten. But just like we know clearly, there is a sun, believe it or not. There is something called a sun, anybody? Yeah, there is, especially today. But there is a sun, right? That's what's keeping us warm
Was
and what
sun, there
brings
was
so
a
sun.
bit of sun in Golders Green today, not for very long, but a little bit.
Oh, there was, yeah.
Sorry, carry on. I was
There
just
was
quiet.
thunder and lightning as well. So
Yeah,
you get
I
the fact,
found that.
yeah. You had thunder, lightning, Golders Green, so we had it in Edgware, right?
Yes.
Okay. So he said, that's really the idea. He said, the Rebbe gave us some words of encouragement. He said, the more one increases and doubles to think about, the stronger it's going to become, Emunah is going to become within us. And we're going to take it a little step further now. And is this where we are today? He says, V'lois Emunah Hashem, not only does this apply to Emunah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels everything is full of him. Everything in the world is the create. The world is full of meloichar es kavodai. When we look at a beautiful flower, when we look at a child, when we look at anything in this world that Hashem created, we look at the sun, the moon, anything in creation. We look at the human body. We look at the eye to realize that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and all the spiritual ones as well. Of course, with Yisragel Lachshav Tov, we need to constantly think about these things, the more we can think about things when we look at things, to have a lofty, elevated perspective on everything we look at in the physical and see the godliness in it. However, it's not only about seeing Hashem in nature, and this is important. Are you ready? It's the topic of today's share. Rather, he says, oh, also, Ella, gam es tachlisko, also your tachlis. What's your purpose? Your own purpose. A person needs to constantly be aware and of what his purpose is. Each one of us as individuals, but tachlis kol Yisrael, and also what is the mission of the Jewish people that we've spoken about already earlier. As we know, this was a condition HaKadosh Baruch Hu made when he created the world. Yom HaShishi, the world was created, and on the sixth day, the world was pending whether Klal Yisrael were going to accept the Torah or not. This week said, Rabbi, a couple of weeks, Parshas Yisro, when Klal Yisrael accept the Torah. And in that parsha, the Torah tells us, V'yisem Sagula, that you are a treasure amongst the people, Mamleches Kohanim, every one of Am Yisrael, we are a nation of priests, Goy Kadosh. We're a holy nation. So we've got, each one of us have our own unique mission, our own tafkid, and each one of us, and also Klal Yisrael, amongst the nations of the world, have a mission. But we forget about it. And this is also part of our Emunah. Emunah isn't only one way. It's not only about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's two facets to Emunah. The facet of Emunah in Hashem, and also the what's called Emunah Atzmis. I've mentioned it many times. Reb Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin says, the first step in Emunah is to believe in yourself. Emunah Atzmis. To have Emunah, faith, to Emunah. You are. Every one of us is a Tzelem Elokim, is part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Emunah Hashem is to have a faith in ourself, and that I have a unique mission, what I bring to the world. That's the celebration of a birthday, right? The celebration of birthday is, that's the day HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that the world cannot exist without you. That's the big party. Why are you celebrating otherwise? Wow, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that the world cannot exist without you. That's what it is about. Jill, when's your birthday? Can't hear you. You're muted. You're muted. Sorry.
אני חושבת תמוז, maybe.
Tammuz, okay. Which date of Tammuz?
I'm not sure.
You're not sure. What's your English birthday?
I'm not sure.
You're not sure.
June. 23rd of June.
23rd of June. Well,
Can you hear
23rd
me?
of June. I won't ask what year, it's okay. But the 23rd of June, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided in Tammuz, in that wonderful year, that Muslim year, that the world cannot exist without Jill. We all agree, right, everyone, ladies?
Yes,
You know,
absolutely.
yeah.
100%. Rabbi, you've gone.
Perspective, not only about what he created, but we are an intrinsic part of that world. That's also Emunah, to see ourselves as individuals. And then he said the two, and also as Am Yisrael. The Am Yisrael, have you have a part? That's part of Emunah. We have to have Emunah in Am Yisrael to the Jewish people, and we see what we've been through, and we see what we're going through, and we see how we rebuild and we rebuild again, what we contribute to the world, what we've given to the world. That is also part, but we forget about it. And he says, Tashov kapam bapam. A person needs to think about this from time to time. Until this mission should not be in our eyes as something extra. It's not like, yeah, the scientist, I've got my own mission, right? So this should not be about my mission. It's as something extra. There's the world, there's Hashem, and there's something extra. There's no, like he says, like, I don't think that I'm asking you to do something extra over here, something extra. No, Rak b'einecha tira. You should, in your eyes, it should be, if you don't have this clear in your mind, it's impossible to be a Jew. A Jew is, he has clarity of number one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world, where we spoke about last week, and Hashem is involved in the world and in Hashgacha. But also, my unique mission, that's also, that's what a Yid is. That's to have a lofty perspective that I'm a Jew I'm Mamgoi Kadosh, the Jewish people, our whole nation, and what our mission is.
Rabbi
And then you check.
Stepney, Rabbi Stepney, really,
Yes.
really sorry to interrupt, but I just need to check. For me, the sound's coming out very distorted and you froze for a while. Is it distorted for everyone or is it just myself?
Mine's okay, but the rabbi did freeze for a
Okay.
few moments.
And the sound?
Sound is fine. Mine sounds fine.
I've had a bit of
Yeah.
distortion, but otherwise fine.
It's
Okay.
probably could be the right that that's all. That's a disadvantage of
Yeah.
Zoom. It
Okay.
can because the Wi-Fi can freeze. Yeah, I'm
Okay.
sorry. Yeah,
Thank you.
it's also the weather affects the Wi-Fi as well. Could be. I
Okay.
think the Wi-Fi is
Thank
pretty good. I know when Jill spoke, it was I couldn't hear Jill all the time. It got
Yeah.
a bit shaky then. Yeah.
It's
Okay.
good. Okay, thank
Okay.
you.
If you want me to repeat anything, I will. So then we'll stop here and then we'll just talk about it before we go a bit further. But the Rebbe's thought is an amazing thing. It's impossible to be a true Jew. You want to be a true Jew? A true Jew means having our tip of our tongue, not that it's two separate things. This is part of being a Jew, is I have absolute clarity and constant awareness. This is not an extra, right? This is basic. It's all one of the same thing. The emunah in Hashem, emunah in myself, and emunah in Am Yisrael. I think it's very powerful, and we need to remind ourselves of this. Let's just finish the paragraph, then we'll discuss, okay? And again, the Rebbe carries on again, and you can see the fact he says it again is teaching us a strategy here for anything we want to improve on. It's only going to work if we do this consistently. The more you think about these thoughts, the more your hashkafa will change. You'll have a new hashkafa. What's glasses in Hebrew? How to glasses?
Mishkafai.
Mishkafayim comes from hashkafa, your lens. So the more a person thinks about this, it will change his outlook, his vision. You've got to have special hashkafa glasses that you can see the world. Said it will change your perspective, ala olam, how you look at the world, al Am Yisrael, how you look at the Jewish people, va'alecha, and about you. The more you think about this, the more you have these thoughts, and the more we become aware, the more constant awareness, the more we talk to ourselves, the more we read, the more we think, the more we write about these thoughts, the more we see the world will look different to us. Kedusha of Israel, that we'll have a loft, we'll realize this lofty holiness that we have of ourselves and the Jewish people. As we said, we'll see it's all part of one thing, the loftiness of Klal Yisrael, of each individual and Hashem. It's all one thing. I can hear an echo. I think it's my voice. I just someone's got not muted my.
I think
And again, if the Rebbe finishes,
mute it,
this
it
is,
becomes clearer.
yeah?
I think if people mute, the whole thing
Yeah, then you.
becomes clearer.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, thank you for everyone. If you don't mind to move, and then I'll annoy you when I ask you questions to unmute. And again, the more you think about this, that you've got to increase. This isn't a one-off thought, it's not a one-off sheer. We've got to build it in to ourselves. And we'll discuss some ideas how we can do that in a moment. Then we'll have an elevated hashkafa, and then once we do this over a certain amount of times, then it will become part of you. It'll become your natural concern. You'll feel it. You'll feel it straight away. And therefore, when we get sidetracked into the material world, too much pull to the material world, then you'll realize it straight. That's not the world's about. That world's not about Gashmias. It's not about materialism. Yes, we need to do what we need to. It's a means, not the goal. And when we get too pulled into that, then we'll say, no, that's not why I'm here for. That's not my mission. This is a means, not the goal. This is not the mission of Klal Yisrael. And then as he finished, we spoke about this pasuk once before, so pasuk in Tehillim 86, chapter 86, verse 11. Hey, Vav, Yud Aleph. You've got to tell him nearby, and we spoke with Tat, and he says, therefore, here's a place. The way to do this is, as the Rebbe spoke earlier, is to be a constant seeker. Yeah, not a secret lemonade drinker, but to be a constant sink seeker. Tas midlavakish, constant be a mavakish, as it says it in him, 86:11. Hareini Hashem Darkecha. Do you remember, Sarah? Do you remember? Hareini Hashem Darkecha. We say it to Hashem, show me Hashem, show me your way. Aleich b'mitecho. Lead me in your way of your truth. Hoshieni, save me, Hashem. I can serve you truly and truthfully. The year of Av with truth, with reverence, and with love. The call to Tas Midlavakish. The more you search, the more we seek Tas Midlavakish, the more it will become real and part of our daily service to our HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there's three steps here, and then I'll pass it over to everyone for discussion. Number one, he says, if you begin at three levels, it comes out what we've been learning tonight over the last few weeks. Hashkofa Elyoin. The number one is you've got to have a lofty perspective. We've got to aim high. We've got to see the loftiness of our HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of ourselves, and of Am Yisrael. How do we do that? Mavakish. That we're constantly seeking it. We're davening to Hashem. We're searching for ways to ask Hashem to help us. We're reminding ourselves. Then, the more we do that, then it naturally will come part of our avodah of our daily life. It will just come second nature to us. And that's really the goal, this integrated part of who we are. So that's the Rebbe. Then he goes on to a new point after this. But let's stop here. I've done a lot of talking. I'd like to hear from you, ladies. So, thoughts, questions, insights? Ruth? Ruth looks very busy there. Ruth, any thoughts, questions, insights? Unmute.
It just all makes utter sense. It makes complete sense of the kind of the holistic picture here. Just makes sense. Every step, the means, the destination, the whole thing holds together and makes sense as a perspective.
No. Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Any comments, thoughts? Debbie, you're quiet tonight, Debbie. Oh, Sarah's going to say. You're saved, Debbie. Go on, Sarah.
Go on,
What can you
Debbie.
share with
Go
us?
on, Debbie. Go on off. Go on, Debbie. Off you go.
No, she wants you to speak.
Destination. Well, we're just talking about destination. That's when we reach the next world and we're preparing ourselves for the next world. Destination. We're improving ourselves. We're learning.
Destination's also here.
Yes.
There's a mission here. There's a mission here. We shouldn't get too focused there. What we've got to do, there's a destination here that we need, what we're looking to do. So we're focusing on here what our mission is. And there's a long term, that's the. Yeah. It's very interesting. A lot of people, and I think including myself, a lot of our education has been based on Olam Haba. Like the goal is if you do learn Torah, if you do mitzvahs, your only purpose is you're gonna have a whopping Olam Haba. Hashem is sitting there counting, giving you lots of ticks, and he's preparing for you. Wow, a paradise, which is incredible. You're here so you can earn Olam Haba. It's all about you and you creating your paradise. How selfish. Do you really think that's what it's all about? Do you
Well,
think
no,
that's what God wants from us?
it's improving your midos and searching for your and searching for your weaknesses so that you can strengthen them and
Yeah.
also strengthen your strengths
Oh, very good.
and strength
So
and
that, so many
because we're
people,
also.
many of us have. I mean, I'm sure many people over the years we've been told, if you do a mitzvah, and that's what we tell the children, and that's what they teach in schools. Do this mitzvah, you get. And many of us are, and we know in Pirkei Avos says you shouldn't learn, serve Hashem al manas lekabel pros in order to get reward. Yeah, rather serve Hashem. Not that's not the mission. That's not what it's about. There's a mission here. It happens to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his great love and kindness that he's going to give us reward. But shouldn't be our focus at all. When you're young, we do that because we need an ulterior motive. But that's really not what it is. That's not the goal. That's not the destination. The goal is here. The God is, what are we going to do here to have an elevated, meaningful life?
It's also very, very anchoring.
The shopper.
Sorry.
Sorry.
I
And
was
what
going
else
to
was it?
ask.
Sorry, what else?
I was saying it's a phenomenal anchor. This coming back constantly to, okay, we can forget, we can slip, forget who we are and get pulled into the gash mystic world and all the meaningless world. And this is it's kind of very encouraging. It's an anchor, but it's also encouraging, it seems. And it says, okay, don't worry. Go back to seeking Hashem and just keep putting one foot in front of the other and seeking. And the more we seek and the more we invest in thinking, our thought process is just as active as actually doing mitzvahs, is what it seems to be saying. These activities are going to gradually, atomically change our perspective to it becoming more second nature. But even if we slip, we can come back. By
That's right.
yeah.
That's it. That's it. I want to share with you. I thought I've just finished reading the book of somewhere called Rabbi Chaim Miller. He wrote it's a biography of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. So one of the things I like to read is biographies of great people and not new rabbis, and it's amazing. It's called Turning Judaism Outwards. And though we all know a lot about the Lubavitcher Rebbe and the incredible work he did, this book has blown me away to like a new level, because you hear lots of things over time, just how he did it. He was very organized, very focused. There was like projects that now we're going to do this, and now we're going to do the mitzvah tanks. Now we're going to give out I think we always gave out the dollar bills. No, that was later on. That was the last 20 years of his life, Sunday night giving out dollars, and there was a reason behind all that. And then Mashiach, we think it was always Mashiach. No, there was a reason. It was the last 10 years of his life. That was a big. He felt there was a calling and need to be a strengthening on that. And there was many misunderstood thought that he was saying that he's Mashiach and everything else. That definitely wasn't the case. And but many other projects he did. I mean, there was a charge about giving charity and candlelighting for women. The incredible ideas they had. But one of the things that I saw from the book throughout was always thinking outside of himself. And it's very easy when focusing on our spirituality to become selfish. So either I'm doing this, I'm working my middos, I'm doing my mitzvahs, and that's why I mentioned about, because I'm going to get a whopping olam haba. It's going to be like what's it, the islands, what's it called? Where's Barbados? Where are all those islands? Where they are they in
West Indies.
West Indies. What they call what islands they call the
Caribbean.
Caribbean. I met somebody yesterday and he told me he's got a house in is it Grenada? Is that called is that?
Grenada.
He's
Yeah.
a, he's a, he's a, he's now a philanthropist. I've learned to say the word just about now. Yeah, he's a philanthropist. I know his son and he's a very, very wealthy man. And he said, where do you have it? He said, what's it called again? Grenada. I said, where's that? Said, well, we live on an island near Grenada. There's only 50 families who actually live there. I said, do you have a minyan there? I said, well, there isn't a synagogue there, but there's actually 10 families. So there's your chance. Get a Chabad rabbi to move. Don't you stay a shul there? But fantastic. They said, what do you do? Well, what do you do? Well, I'm retired now. Interesting. Baba Trevor was very anti-retirement. Don't retire. If you're healthy and well, you carry on doing whatever you can. You keep going. Don't retire. So his big thing is, the big mission for the book is turning Judaism outwards. It's about Judaism and spirituality can become very insular and internal, focusing on oneself. Because we're talking about working on ourselves and our relationship with Hashem and my own mission and the mission of Am Yisrael. There is inner work, there is panemius. But at the same time, there is also we mustn't forget outwards. Part of the mission of Klal Yisrael is what we can bring to the world, how we can strengthen others, how we can help others find Hashem, how the others encourage others to do Maasim Tovim, to do Tzedakah, to do Chesed, and to care for other people. And don't be shy to help somebody else do a mitzvah. It's okay, you can tell them about it. Don't be shy to do that in a soft, gentle, loving way. be surprised at the impact of what a mitzvah has on a person. We all see all that. So that's also, but that's part of the mission. Am Yisrael, we're one body, we're one family, we're part of the same thing. So this is all part of the lofty perspective. We can get very caught up in our own mission, working on our own midas and our own avoidance Hashem. It can become a very selfish existence, even though we're working on ourselves. If it's only that, it needs to be also ourselves, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the world around us. And that's really what it is. That's what it means having a lofty, elevated perspective. And just to ponder it, we're walking down the street, a minute here, a second there, and the more we remind ourselves, I like to think of these things. I find it davening a good place to think about these things. For example, Shema. So you can say, before we say the Shema, whether it's at Shacharis and at Maariv, there's a bracha we say first. In Shacharis, we say, Habacher ba'amor Yisrael, v'ahava. Hashem who chose Klal Yisrael with love. So you can see, that's a reminder. And then you say Hashem, then you say, well, we'll have to say Hashem again, you should love Hashem. So we've got two parts to it. We've got number one, Hashem loves us, and that we love Hashem. So there's two parts to it. And part of that love is we love Hashem, and part of that is loving Klal Yisrael, except others Yisrael, etc. So I use that as a point. But that's a good opportunity when we're davening to try and find out when you say Tehillim. Because otherwise, life is so busy, it's hard to remember to have these thoughts. And the Rebbe's trying to tell us the only way to do this if it's constant thinking. So there's two parts just for myself. Davening can sometimes there's so much to say, it's important. There's so much to ask Hashem and thank Hashem for. There isn't time to do anything else in davening. So I actually find afterwards, when you wake up, when you walk into the car, when you're walking down the road to the shops, you can have those thoughts then. These are opportunities to think. We see another year, say, oh. Just think creating ways for ourselves without not big burdens of time, which we don't have. Just to think about the loftiness of Hashem, the loftiness to look at the flower in the vase, to look at ourselves in the mirror, to look at another yid. Yeah, these are it's the only way that we have these thoughts, and it's going to come second nature. And as Ruth said, it's okay, we forget, we can always get back on again. It's okay. So somebody told me a story yesterday. The Ben Yishchai, the great Sephardi sage, the Ben Yishchai, he fasted for 40 days. So that means he drank water, only drank water during that time, and he ate only after night. So 40 days fasting, he ate a meal in the evening. After that, he said he had a different relationship with the physical world. He was much more in control after 40 days of having that sort of cleanse, so to speak. So he did eat in the evening and he was drinking, talked about a 4 day fast. He just had a different relationship with the physical world. We're so caught up in the physical world. Ladies, ask you a question. If you're not hungry, should one still eat? You've got breakfast, lunch, so if you're not hungry, should you still eat lunch? I'm not hungry. It's 1 o'clock. I'm not hungry. Should you still eat? Do you have to eat? Anybody?
No. The only
I'm not
time
concerned.
I find if it's about not being hungry is trying to eat each other's sugars when there hasn't been a long gap between after lunch.
That's a
That
big challenge,
that's when
isn't
I have to sometimes force myself to eat. But if I'm not hungry at 1 o'clock, I don't eat. I can't see the
it?
reason.
Yeah. Unless I just want to add, if somebody's got a medical condition, the
Oh yeah.
doctor told you've got to eat, then you need to eat, or your medication, you need to eat. But there is, I saw there's a Western culture that you've got, the Rambam talks about they used to eat two meals a day. That's what they ate, and the rest of the time they used to have a lot of nuts. They would eat lots of that small, healthy snacks in between them. You're not hungry, you don't have to, because I didn't eat lunch yet. It's 7 o'clock. No, this is my lunch because I didn't eat yet, and I have supper at 10. We've got the thing, we've got it. If you're not hungry, you don't have to eat. We've come so caught up in the world. Sometimes a person can be harmful because he didn't eat lunch, and then later on, you can end up eating the wrong foods later on. You grab a piece of cake or chocolate because then you get it later on. So then, as it's a horror, someone's got to be careful. But I found that very interesting about we ask, as we spoke about previously, we're very caught up in the material world in itself. And that's what we're trying to pick ourselves up from there. Because a yid, we're kodesh. Kodesh means, when we're called, we're goy kodesh means we're elevated. It means we're above that. That means the physical world is a means, it's an existence we live. Our kodesh baruch hu is atah kodesh v'shimcha kodesh. Kodesh baruch hu, you are holy. What does holy mean? Of course, Ruach means he is involved with the world, but he's separate from it. Kedusha means poirish. Rashi says on Chumash Parshas Kedoshim, you're separated from the world. So you're involved with the world, but you're separate from it as well. You're in control of it, then rather than it being in control of you. Okay, so that means doesn't mean there's anything wrong in having a piece of chocolate cake, right? It's fine, but who's in control? When it gets to the stage of the chocolate cake's in control of you, then there's a problem, right? As we know. And it can happen easily. We all fall. It happens to all of us. That's really what it means. And it's all, a lot of this stuff is all in our outlook, in our shkafa, in the way we think, and in our thoughts, or write, or talk with friends. It's not even an action, but the outcome is it will affect our actions. Okay? Jill, any thoughts? You're looking deep thought, Jill.
I'm enjoying listening to you right now. It's making sense. You know. Yeah.
Okay, good. Anybody have anything else they'd like? Any other thoughts? Any suggestions how we can remember this? How are you going to remember this, Linda? And put your microphone on. And how are you going to get away with this? Oh, Mrs. Wilkinson, how are you going to take today's share? You missed last week's. I'm sorry once again. Are you going to carry on? How are we going to remember this? I don't, because tomorrow, tonight, we're inspired. But what are we going to do? How are we going to remember this? We're going to constantly remember. What are you going to do? Any suggestions for us? Anyone?
Is it Rabbi, that last week you were saying that we have to believe in ourselves, first of all, before we can be giving outwards and having that connection to with Hashem. So, I don't know. You've got to get that connection first so that you can move to the next level.
The only thing, let me clarify, Linda, I don't think it's necessary what comes first, because sometimes by helping others and giving others and looking outwards can actually make you see, give you the self-confidence in yourself. So right. It doesn't always have to be that. It doesn't have to be, I've got to start myself first and then I can do. It's not like there's not an order. It's holistic.
Yeah.
You don't look at all things. There's myself, there's Am Yisrael, there's a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's all one. Kutcha, Barichu, Varaisa, Yisrael. It's all one thing. It's just three different perspectives. Looking at each one of them, we just got to work on the sun. And everyone's different. And sometimes we need to look in the mirror and actually just talk to ourselves and see what a beautiful neshama. You know, I'm a special neshama. Hashem created me. Why am I special? Stand front in the mirror and sometimes go, where am I? So, yeah, you are. We need to talk to ourselves and remind ourselves of that. And usually what helps that is by giving and helping, looking outwards and helping out, reaching outwards is the greatest thing, because that's how we make a difference to other people's lives. Then we can, then we then often that wakes up inside us our own inner beauty. Yeah. Any other thoughts, anyone?
Keeping our notes on the coffee table, in my case, and keep rereading them, and it really helped me to remind myself. Yeah.
Okay, amazing, amazing, wonderful. Thank you, ladies. Now, the next step of what we're gonna what the Rebbe's gonna tell us about is very interesting. I'll start it. We have a few more minutes, so we'll start it. It's really for next week's year, but it's quite a long piece, so we'll start it. And basically, he tells us. A person, part of remembering who we are as individuals and as a nation, is we should look back to see what were the Jewish people historically. Look backwards. As the Chafetz Chaim says, if you're walking along a way and you get lost, you get to a crossroads and you don't know, Marlene, where to go. Where's next? Right? Where do I go next? I'm lost. Do I turn right? Do I turn left? Maybe I should. So the Chofetz Chaim says, if you walk backwards and trace your foot back so you recognize where you came from, that's the best move. You don't just go right, therefore go backwards so you can trace yourself. So the Rebbe tells us here, he says, compare our situation to in the past. Right? Of course, what was before, remember how now we see ourselves in a very low situation compared to the past. You know, you look into the books of the Nevi'im, and the Kesuvim, And we see Loi Hoysenavu Oskadava Yos Mehergal. If you look back into the Chumash, see Hashem speaks to Moshe and Aaron, and then you look into Tanakh, you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it was quite a normal thing. Hashem spoke to people. It wasn't a chiddush, it wasn't anything novel, right? It wasn't anything wow. Hashem spoke to someone, right? In the book of Judges, there's a story in the book of Judges about the book of the story of Shimshon and Samson, yeah? And in there, does anyone remember the name of Samson's mother and father? Father, anyone? When I tell you, you might remember Manoach. His name was Manoach, yeah? So he was Manoach. He was a regular guy. And they were going to have a child called Shimshon. It's in the book of Judges, chapter 13. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't speak to them in a dream. He didn't speak through a buskal, the heavenly voice, right? Why did he, right? He didn't have, why did he have to do this when he can send them an angel? So he sent a malach. Now, they're regular, normal people. Samson's parents were regular, run of the guy people. He was a regular guy, Manoach. Yeah, that's it. The Gemara says he was not Ma'aretz even. Yeah, he was an ignorant person. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so he sent an angel to speak to a malach. And if once was enough, he sent him a second time. And we know that the Chazal tell us that they were not great people, they weren't Gedolim, but they saw a malach. They were just, you know why? Because Anshei Kodesh. Because somebody who is a holy person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks, and therefore, they can see and speak with a malach, just like I'm looking and speaking to you. Once asks, one answers. That's how it was. That was normal. Not these great levels of prophecy, just a nature thing. We also know that King Saul, he wasn't a Navi, all right? And even before he was a king, Hashem spoke to him, right? And we know there was an incident with King Saul that he was chasing after King David's. And in the book of Samuel, if you remember, and he got into a group of prophets. And remember this story? There were a bunch of prophets, and he walked in, and he got caught up in the prophet. They walked in, and all these prophets, he walked into yeshiva. In those days, there were yeshivas of prophecy, right? Look at Ari Kaplan talks about this. There was a different, there's Gemara, and there's the yeshivas of prophecy. And today, people think to make profit, you have to go to London School of Economics. Is to make profits, as the prophecy is the sort of prophet. But so he went in, and imagine you walk in all of a sudden, you're like, whoa. I remember first I walked into the Mir Yeshiva, the noise of the learning, even really outside, you know, it's like a magnet, you're pulled in there. I remember even in Gateshead, you know, Winter Mystery, you walk down, you can hear the noise of all the Yeshiva voices on the outside. So same thing, Shaul, King Saul, him and all that, he had his shluchim with him. And they were, at that time, they were chasing David Melech to kill him. But once they got there, and Shmuel HaNavi was there with all these Talmidim, and they automatically just got pulled in the rapture of prophecy just by being there, right? And they started prophesizing. Now, prophecy doesn't only mean telling the future. Prophecy means an absolute clarity of presence with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, he says here, happened to save David, to give Don Melech time to escape. That's why Hashem did it, when Hashem could have done lots of other things. And if these people were just people who were bloodthirsty individuals, then why would he give them prophecy? But as we said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't like to do miracles and change nature. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu does things within nature. What's within nature? It's within nature for a Jew to have prophecy. It's okay. Yeah? Even if a Jew is far away and has become very materialistic, nevertheless, when they hang out with the right in the right environment, when they hang out with prophets, then they also are going to be affected by prophecy. And even Shlomo HaMelech, who was pursuing King David to kill him, what happened? He had to have a prophecy all night. Because it's second nature, prophecy, that closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's second nature. We are Am Yisrael. If you look at Jewish people, we are the Am Kodosh. And what does it mean? Mamlech has got it, but Goy Kodosh, our whole nation is we are elevated. We're connected. It's second nature to have prophecy. It's not a div, it's not far off from us. Right? And as Hashem, we'll carry on next week just talking a little bit more about this. But he's going to say he's not going to tell us now. Therefore, ladies, we're going to start a new class in prophecy. But what I would say is the Rebbe, he's written earlier, he said earlier in the book, he quoted the Gemara, says, "Im einu nevi'im b'nei nevi'im." The Gemara says, if we're not prophets, we are the children of prophets. And the Rebbe, who was quite revolutionary in this, he writes in many of his books, he believed this very strongly. So it doesn't mean we're the children of prophets. It doesn't mean children, therefore, our parents had our previous descent, we're descendants of prophets. It doesn't mean that. It means we are b'nei nevi'im. We mean we have a spark of the Emunah. He says we actually have a nitzutz sheba nitzutz, a spark of prophecy. So it's true we're not prophets. And he actually wrote a lot of it. There's another book he wrote about how to get prophecy to connect with this spark of the spark of prophecy. Because prophecy isn't, when I tell you prophet, everyone thinks about the prophets of doom. The end is nigh. Prophesized it. Prophecy is not that, but it's in essence, prophecy is a very clear connection without distraction. It's an out-of-body experience of complete connection and clarity of that we see Hashem, we see our true selves, and see the mission of Klal Yisrael. That's what it is. And so that's second nature to us. That's who we are. Look back, that's how it was. Even Manoach, Shimshon's parents, regular people, they had that. So we're not going to get prophets, but we can have a spark of that. It's something which is second nature to us. Just as he said previously, the neshama is asleep. Which is, and the way we wake it up is by using the neshama, by contemplating our mission and seeing Hashem and seeing the mission of Klal Yisrael. The more we awaken that soul inside us, then the soul is more active. It's like the brain, like any muscle of the body. If we don't use it, what happens to the muscle? It starts wearing away, disappearing, right? The same thing with the brain. The more you use your brain, the more brain cells get added, right? The more and more. It's the same thing with the neshama. If we don't use the neshama, and the neshama's dormant, that's going to happen. But we're so involved in the physical world, so we need to wake up the soul and see the mission of Klal Yisrael. And we see it's not so far off. Look where we come from. Look from who we descend. Look from where we are. And Be'ez Hashem, we'll continue next week. Be'ez Hashem, on Zoom, while this bad weather continues to shower over us. But we'll keep nice and warm. But any comments just before we finish for the night? Anyway, don't forget to unmute if you're going to speak. You're very quiet. See, ladies, I don't like Zoom. You're too quiet. When you come here, you make a racket, you ladies. You're making a noise. We're having a high end and a bit of nuts together, and you're like, it's a bit of noise. You're quiet tonight. What's wrong with you? That's why I don't like Zoom.
Sorry, Rabbi, could I ask you to repeat the name of the book?
That we're going through this one here.
I can't see it.
I know your husband's got a copy.
What's it called? I can't see the. I can't
it's
see it.
It's called Hoivas Hatal Midim.
Okay.
I know Alan's got a copy of it. Chapter 13.
Okay, jolly good. Yeah. That'll be useful.
Yeah, chapter 13. That's what we're doing in the middle of chapter 13. Okay, ladies, have a good week. See you Shabbos for Ezra Sasham. Be successful. Be healthy. Be well. And only good news for the Jews. Line us off.
Inspirational. That was inspirational. Thank you.
Thank you.
Last 2 weeks.
Good night. Thank you, Ruth, for organizing.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Rabbi.
Good night.
Thank you. Good night. Thank you.